ఆత్మానం సృజామి పరిత్రాణాయ సాధునా వినాశాయ చ
Hare Krishna, welcome to the weekly Krishna Consciousness Radio program. This is Krishna Kanta Devi Dasi. We welcome you to Shri Shri Radhagiri Dhari Temple on 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, Pune, also known as Highway 12. Every Sunday, there is a Sunday feast program that begins at 11 a.m. with Kirtan, Midday Aarti, and after Midday Aarti, there's a short class on Bhagavad Gita as it is. After Bhagavad Gita class, there is Srila Prabhupada Guru Puja, and after Guru Puja, there is Mahaprasadam. The next temple program is Narasimha Chaturdashi on Tuesday, the 25th of May. Because 2021 is Srila Prabhupada's 125th birth anniversary, we will have reading from his biography called Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrita, written by Satsarup Das Goswami, by Radha Padma Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, reading from Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrita, Volume 1, A Biography of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, written by Sri Satswarupa Dasa Goswami Maharaj. Reading from Chapter 4, December 1936, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was in poor health at Jagannath Puri. Abhay was in Bombay and he wanted to write his Guru Maharaj a letter. "He's a little kind upon me," Abhay thought. "He'll understand my request," and he began to write. "Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. You've got many disciples and I'm one of them, but they're doing direct service to you. Some of them are brahmacharis, some of them are sannyasis, but I'm a householder. I cannot, sometimes, I give monetary help while I cannot give you direct service. Is there any particular service I can do?" 2 weeks later, Abhay received a reply. "I am fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments to the people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. This will do much good to yourself as well as to your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher if you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the people in general as well as philosophers and religionists." Abhay at once recognized this to be the same instruction he had received at their first meeting in 1922. He took it as a confirmation. There was now no doubt as to the purpose of his life. What his spiritual masters had said in Calcutta in 1922 had not been a chance remark, nor had that been a chance meeting. The instruction was the same. "Turn yourself into a very good English preacher. This will do much good to yourself as well as your audience." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta passed away from the mortal world on January 1, 1937. He had been spending his last days reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and chanting on his beads. When a doctor had visited him, wanting to give him an injection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had protested, "Why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Hare Krishna, that's all." Amongst his last words to his disciples were, I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath, disciples of Lord Chaitanya, with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis. You should all work conjointly under the guidance of your spiritual master, with a view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. Do not, please, give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticisms, and all discomforts. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of Godhead. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree and humbleness like a straw. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever. In his last days, he had remained fully conscious and had given instructions until the end. He had specifically and openly ordered that the affairs of his Gauriya Math be maintained by a 12-man governing body, which the devotees should select amongst themselves. Finally, he had said, "Please accept my blessings to you all, present and absent. Please bear in mind that our sole duty and religion is to spread and propagate service to the Lord and of his devotees." At 5:30 a.m. on January 1, he breathed his last. Word very soon reached Abhay in Bombay. His immediate response was to cry with grief. No more the joy of an anticipated meeting, no more trips to Calcutta or Vrindavan on the plea of business just to see the tall, commanding form of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the evangelic angel. This sense of never meeting again was difficult to bear. Philosophically, Abhay knew that there was no reason to lament. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had come into this world to execute the mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya, and now it was required that he leave this place and go to another, where he would again engage in the same activity. Yet, even armed with this philosophy, Abhay felt all alone. His two great well-wishers were gone, his father and now his spiritual master. But he felt grateful that he had received a special mercy, a final instruction. Just 2 weeks before his spiritual master's departure, Abhay read his letter again and again. There would not be another. The intimate talks and meetings were now gone, but by this letter especially, Abhay would live in the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The letter had come just in time. Now, he knew for certain, no matter what anyone else said, how to please his spiritual master and stay linked with Krishna. Following his order, he would conquer the feeling of loss at the disappearance of his most affectionate well-wisher. Chapter 5. The War. Under the circumstances since 1936 up to now, I was simply speculating whether I should venture this difficult task and that without any means and capacity. But as none have discouraged me, I have now taken courage to take up the work. Srila Prabhupada, Back to Godhead magazine. The fire in the mutt broke out almost immediately. A senior disciple said that there should be one Acharya who should be the spiritual successor to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and who would perform all initiations and settle all controversies. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had never said that. He had never called for one Acharya. Rather, he had instructed the members of the Gaudiya Math to form a governing body of 12 men and carry on a concerted effort. But that instruction was abandoned. And the suggestion there that there be one leader took hold. A single person instead of 12 should take charge, and now it became a rush for who? Two parties contested. Ananta Vasudev, one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's leading preachers, was ambitious and he pressed his claim with a group of influential sannyasi supporters. Another man, Kunja Vihari, shrewdly went after the properties. He had been a leading administrator under Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and now he claimed ownership of the palatial temple in Calcutta, as well as the other properties and assets of the India-wide Gaudiya Math. Although in his will, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had expressed his desire that his disciples select a governing board to manage all properties and funds of the Gaudiya Math, Kunja Vihari contested the will's legitimacy. He and his supporters argued that since Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had received the properties on behalf of God, he was not their rightful owner and therefore could not determine their future ownership. Thus, he and the others disputed over the legal and theological aspects of the former Acharya's position. Shortly after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's passing away, litigation had begun. Ananta Vasudev, supported by the majority of the members of the Gaudiya Math, had claimed that as the next Acharya was the owner and director of the properties, but although Kunja Vihari had only a few supporters, he defied the majority by pressing his claim through the lawyers in court. Kunja Vihari and his men had possessions of the Chaitanya Math and the temples in Mayapur. Vasudev's party captured other buildings. Quarreling and fist fights broke out. The preaching of the Gaudiya Math stopped. Abhay's inability to take part in the activities of the Gaudiya Math was suddenly in his favor. He had always been more a visitor than a member at the Math, and at least externally, more the Grihastha businessman than a missionary worker. This automatically put him at a distance from the fray. Of course, he was associated with the Mathas in Bombay and Allahabad, but he had no managerial position, no claims to ownership, and no role at the litigation. Nor did he desire to take sides in the struggle for power. Like many of the other disciples, he was mortified to see that the spiritual master's instructions for cooperation had been disregarded and his mission thrown into a legal dispute. Abhay knew that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had wanted the leaders to work cooperatively, and so he could not sympathize with the warring factions. Both parties were an insult to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But he wanted to preach, although becoming a very good English preacher was something he was meditating on more than actively doing. The Gaudiya Math would logically have been the vehicle for his preaching. He had already contributed articles to the Gaudiya Math's publications and had been working with his god brothers at the Allahabad and Bombay centers. Naturally, he thought of serving his spiritual master in terms of serving within the spiritual master's mission. But the Gaudiya Math, which had always been known for pure, bold preaching of the message of Lord Sri Chaitanya, was now becoming known for embroiled factions. As the Gaudiya Math broke down, he was also affected. Under the present circumstances, how could he carry out his spiritual master's order to preach? Previously, the main obstacle to his preaching had been family commitments. But now, the obstacles were compounded. Now, he had to wait helplessly for the outcome of this struggle. What would Krishna bring about? 1938, his Bombay business diminishing, Abhay, now 42, moved back to Calcutta with his wife and family and rented a house at 6 Sita Kanta Banerjee Lane. The street was but a narrow lane, lined on either side with three-story houses. His office was on the first floor, facing the street. The family lived upstairs. He rented the adjoining building, number 7, and on the first floor operated a small chemical laboratory manufacturing distilled water, Day's pain liniment, Vimal tonic, Alpa, an injection for boils, and various other medicines. He also utilized a small outbuilding in the rear as part of his lab. Out front, he hung a large signboard, Abhay Charan Day and Sons, displaying a picture of a mustached Abhay Charan. Sometimes he would employ two or three servants to assist him, but mostly he worked alone. And he would deliver his glass jugs of distilled water to agents such as Bengal Company and Gluconet. He printed a brochure advertising Day's pain liniment, good for relieving gout, rheumatism, and all pains. And if he wanted to be free of recurring diseases, to using Day's pain liniment, one refrained from alcohol and all sorts of drinking or intoxicating habits, and food and drink should be very simple and innocent, such as vegetables and milk. The new Calcutta business enjoyed an early success, but Abhay didn't have his heart in it. It was a duty. He had to do it to maintain his family. His new acquaintances in Calcutta found him to be a devotee of God at heart, a businessman, a family man, but more concerned with writing and preaching than the business, than with business and family. Chandi Mukherjee, a neighbor from nearby Bihari Street, he was interested only in devotional activities, and he did his business only to maintain the family. He didn't seem interested in the profit motive, in accumulating money or becoming a rich man. Charan Mukherjee, Abhay's next door neighbor. Abhay Charan Day was always a very patient listener to every illogical argument that anybody, including myself, would bring to him. Not knowing philosophy, I would patiently listen. Not knowing philosophy, I would illogically present so many arguments, and Mr. Day would always very patiently listen. Nothing agitated him. He was always very calm, and he taught me about God. He would speak only of Krishna. He was translating the Gita and was maintaining his business. Neighbors would often see him sitting on his cot in the front room. He would read his spiritual master's books and sometimes recite the Sanskrit shlokas out loud. He liked to discuss philosophy with anyone who came by. His family keeping mostly upstairs, Abhay would sit alone in the downstairs front room, dressed in dhoti and kurta, and sometimes a dhoti and only a vest. Often he would be at his writing, while outside the door his children played with the children of the Ganguly family, who lived in the rear apartment of the same building. The neighbors lived openly in a kind of joint neighborhood family, and Abhay talked freely with the other neighbors, but of Vaishnava philosophy and only rarely of business. Mr. Ganguly found Abhay's speech scholastic and always very philosophical. Abhay was absorbed in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And even in brief conversations, he would refer to Lord Krishna and to Bhagavad Gita's description of Lord Krishna as the basis of both the material and spiritual worlds. While working in the lab or receiving a delivery of empty bottles from the muslin bottle merchant or going out to sell his medicine, he would be talking or thinking about God. In those days, for a person in Calcutta to be interested in God consciousness was not so unusual. Abhay found even a man like Abdullah, the Muslim bottle merchant, to be very religious. One day, Abhay asked Abdullah, who had once been very poor but had become rich by his business. "Now you've got money, so how are you going to use your money?" The bottle merchant replied, "My dear sir, I have an intention to construct a mosque." Meanwhile, the war of the Gaudiya Math raged on. Both factions were ill-motivated and both deviated from the instructions of the spiritual master. The very act of trying to determine ownership of the properties through legal action meant that the God brothers were disobeying the express desire of the spiritual master, as stated in his will. The litigation continued year after year, but the legal wrangling could not bring them together or purify them. One court ruled in favor of Ananta Vasudev, but then the higher court awarded 2/3 of the Math's properties to Kunja Vihari and 1/3 to Vasudev. Still, although Vasudev had fewer properties, he inspired more followers. He seemed to them more intent on reviving the preaching of the Gaudiya Math. But when Vasudev subsequently fell down from the principles of sannyas by going off with a woman, the groups broke further to pieces. Most of the sannyasis continued to maintain their principles, but many now left the jurisdiction of the most contending factions in disgust. Individuals formed their own ashrams, Gaudiya Mission, Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, and others. The unified entity of Gaudiya Math has as an all-India mission consisting of many temples, several presses, and hundreds of devotees working cooperatively under one leadership ceased to exist. God brothers continued to uphold the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as they had received them from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But because they were meant to work together, they lacked their former united potency. Illusion of proprietorship and prestige had superseded the spiritual master's order and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's cause. A worldwide movement for propagating Lord Chaitanya's teachings collapsed. Wherever Abhay went, he seemed to attract the company of his godbrothers. Some followers of Sridhar Maharaj, the same Sridhar with whom he had worked in Bombay and whom he had always regarded as a good devotee and scholar, met Abhay at his place on Banerjee Lane and told this news to Sridhar Maharaj, who was then living at his own ashram in Mayapur. Sridhar Maharaj was disaffiliated himself from the factions of the Gaudiya Math. But as a sannyasi, he was still preaching and was interested in publishing Vaishnav literature. He had wanted to maintain an ashram in Calcutta. So for 20 rupees a month, he rented from Abhay the 4 rooms on the second floor of number 7, above Abhay's chemical laboratory. Now, whenever they came to Calcutta, Sridhar Maharaj, Puri Maharaj, and Bhakti Saranga Maharaj based themselves there, staying in small separate rooms. it became a regular ashram for sannyasis and brahmacharis. And Sridhar Maharaj put a sign out front, Devananda Saraswati Mutt. Sridhar Maharaj's establishment of a mutt in Mayapur with a branch in Calcutta was his response to the Gauriya Mutt split. Like other sannyasis, he had been initiating disciples and preaching, not waiting for the outcome of the litigation, with its continued appeals and counterclaims. Abhay was glad to encourage Sridhar Maharaj and others who joined him in his little ashram. Here, Abhay and Sridhar Maharaj and his followers could remain aloof from the warring factions and together pursue their plans for spreading Krishna consciousness. The sannyasis cooked in their separate kitchen, performed their puja, and held morning and evening kirtans and lectures. Abhay remained with his family, taking his own meals and performing his own puja. But he often went to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with Sridhar Maharaj. From his roof, Abhay could see the towering steeple of his spiritual master's building, the Gauriya Mutt of Bagh Bazar, its ownership now contested by bitter factions. Abhay would often accompany Sridhar Maharaj and his assistants at preaching programs where he would play the mridanga. And when Sridhar Maharaj fell ill, Abhay led other devotees on preaching engagements, performing kirtan, playing mridanga, and giving lectures on the Bhagavatam. Sridhar Maharaj: we did not see Abhay as working very hard for making money, nor did he seem very rich to have a lot of liquid funds. He was attracted more to the spiritual side of affairs than to his family affairs. He never discussed business prospects with me, whether the business was up or down, or whether he was planning to do this or that. Monetarily, he did not have sufficient funds for giving any to the mission. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.